Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Raven Davis, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a very special one because it is the Young Entrepreneur Special that is brought to you by Raven. Raven, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. You have a good week?
Pretty good. Busy.
What'd you learn this week?
What did I learn?
You find any interesting people for Hypopotamus? You write about anything interesting?
I actually went to my first networking event for Beyond MVP.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a Thai event, and that was interesting.
How'd you do in that environment?
I did as best as I could.
Now, I was talking to somebody about networking events, and being a radio host has helped me quite a bit because I just put on my interview hat when I'm at the event and just start interviewing the people.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you have to do.
So now you know for next time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So who'd you bring with you today?
Nicole Carter, who's the founder of Creative Flame Media.
Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
All right. So tell us about Creative Flame. How'd you get started?
How did I get started? That's a long story, but I'll keep it brief. So Creative Flame Media, we offer marketing services to our clients, a lot of which are small business and entrepreneurs. And when we mean marketing services, that includes website design, also content management. So we'll do a lot of copywriting in terms of writing blog articles, leading social media campaigns. And then there's also video production as a piece of that as well.
Okay. And so how big is the company?
Well, in terms of full-time employees, it's just me. But I do have a team that I bring on to different projects as it's needed. So I work with my clients to identify, again, what their goals are and what marketing tools and what marketing strategies we have to implement. And then I bring on people that I've identified and worked with on a number of projects. And those can be graphic designers for logo work or print media if that's needed. In addition to graphic designers, I have a team of videographers and editors for the video work that we do, and then also writers for the copywriting.
Okay. So it's mainly you and then like outsourcing most of the things that you need.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was reading an article the other day, and I don't want to misquote, but it was somewhere they said it's increased to where almost 30% of the U.S. workforce now is freelancers. And I find that even in my own business. So I work with a lot of clients. Again, I almost serve as a marketing director role for small businesses. So they might not be at the point where they need someone for 40 hours a week. So I might work with them 5 hours or 10 hours, and I'll have a number of clients that I work with. And so in that sense, I'm an outsourced marketing director. And then in terms of specific needs that they need, I outsource that as well. So it's just this interesting trickle-down effect.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you get involved with that, with marketing? Do you have like a background in marketing?
So my background, funny enough, is international business and finance.
Oh, wow.
And so I took a very interesting path to get to where I am today. But the blend in terms of what my history and background is and how it helps my clients, the first was I worked at the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce for a very long period of time. I was a program manager. I did events. And then I also did economic development. I recruited technology companies and entertainment companies to the metro Atlanta area. In those roles, it served me well now because I've learned a lot about different industries and businesses, the cultures, their clients, their pain points. And so I'm able to work with a host of different types of industry leaders. You know, I've got staffing companies that I work for, law firms as clients, technology companies as clients. And so I got rooted in that. How I got into marketing is actually by necessity. So like any large corporation, if a VP or president says, I need this and I need it tomorrow, they move to the top of the wish list. So I was finding a lot of times my programs, I'd be like, I need a website. And they'd be like, we're going to get it to you in a week. And then a month later, we promise we'll get it to you in a month. And I said, just show me what I need to do. And I actually went on my own. I remember the first program I had was Dreamweaver. And I started coding and just looking it up online. And then I started developing brochures. And so it was literally, you know, self-taught out of necessity. And then I found I had a passion for it. So I started really focusing and honing in on that. And then after the chamber, I went and served as a marketing director for a film studio. So you heard we said, you know, I said we have a video production piece to the company, and it came from my time there learning that. But at the film studio, I got a lot of hands-on experience in terms of it being a small team. So I got to do a lot of the marketing, everything, you know, from print and digital strategy and implementation.
Okay, so you kind of just like fell into it like a natural career path.
Yeah. Yeah. Which as you talk to more people, it seems to be the way of the world, huh?
Yeah. It just falls into your lap, kind of. Well, that's good. Okay, so you kind of self-taught yourself then how to code. Like you just kind of jumped in there with Dreamweaver?
Yes. Now all the coding that we do for our web design, I mean, we work with WordPress.
Yeah.
For our clients now.
Okay. All right, so... you have a new music partnership with TuneRay. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. So TuneRay is actually something that we just launched. And I say we as in me and my husband. So my husband is a music producer, and he signed with a publishing house downtown. And one of the things that you find is that these producers can create maybe 2 or 3 beats a night. So they can have a library within a year, they can have a library of 200, 300 plus songs. However, you know, when you're, you know, shopping that around and, you know, putting in front of artists like Flo Rida and Beyonce and all of that, the likelihood that your song is going to be chosen, it's going to be 1% of whatever you've put together over the last year. So I was looking at his library and I was listening to it and I said, can I borrow this for one of my client projects, a video project? I said, I need it as an opener, and this is a great pop beat because he does a lot of pop. And I started talking with some of my marketing agency affiliates that I work with, and I would happen to mention it in conversation, and they said, oh my gosh, we would love to hear that because you're always needing that kind of stuff for, you know, commercials and things of that nature. So out of it blossomed TuneRay, which is music that has been created with artists in mind, so it's very, you know, today's sound and really relevant. But now we're putting it out there, and it's open for, I mean, any small businesses, large businesses to use for, you know, whatever kind of media product that they need.
Okay, and there aren't existing things like that already?
Oh,
is this kind of, oh, okay.
No, it's not new. We use that all the time, but, it's not new. What's interesting in it is that it's being led by, you know, my husband's a producer, but he's on a team of 7, and they do work with really big name artists. So these are all producers who put out, you know, quality work that you're going to hear on the radio, and they're now opening up their talent and their creativity and allowing there to be, you know, these non-broadcast licensing rights for these for corporations to access. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of places out there that will create, you know, little stings here and there. But these are kind of different because, again, you know, they've been created for the stars in mind. So they have a really unique type of sound to them, and a very strong and rich creativity and produced sound to them.
So you're giving people, like, I guess, higher quality, like, resources than are usually, like, offered.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And again, you know, in the idea is that right now it is sitting on all their computers and hard drives.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it doesn't get placed, then it's not being used. So there's really no extra effort in our part. It's just now making it available.
That's great. And so you're kind of like a serial entrepreneur. You have like 50 different companies.
Yes. And I'll keep it at that. Yes. Yeah. But like I said, so that is a partnership, and you can actually find it at TuneRay.com. That's TuneRaid.com, and it will be fully launched probably by mid-December, but people can go on there already and go ahead and hear what the sounds like, but the actual store to purchase the music will be launched in a few weeks.
Okay, and you did this with your husband. Do you guys have any other projects that you've worked on together?
Yes, a lot, but I'm going to just pick one that I think is relevant right now. So the other hat that I wear outside of marketing with Creative Flame is as executive director of a nonprofit that we started. So my husband started the nonprofit in 2010. It's called the Divine Authority Foundation. And the mission of the foundation is to support and provide resources to single moms and children. So I came on board as a program coordinator, you know, helping him out. And now we've switched roles where he's founder and chairman, but I've become executive director. In that with the foundation, we've done different things for the mothers. We've had, you know, spa days. We've done health and wellness, Zumba classes, all sorts of things free to them. And then we're also, we've built a resource library. So we've had a health and wellness coach come and we've interviewed her and has talked about tips on, you know, how to do healthy packing for your kids in a time crunch or on a budget, which is really important. We have another set of library videos that we're going to be doing with a lawyer on custody issues. So providing that type of information. For the youth, we do a lot of youth development in terms of letting them, one, be exposed to different things, but also exposing them to different career paths. So not getting bogged down with the traditional doctor and lawyer, and if they don't see themselves fitting in that, you know, niche, then not going to school or, you know, kind of giving up on any type of secondary education. And so we introduce them to what we call kind of the non-traditional ideas of what a career can look like, which is all the things that are coming out right now. So, you know, cybersecurity, animation studios and post-production, letting them know about, you know, you can be a video game designer and make a lot of money. I wish I knew how to do it, in fact. So, you know, exposing them to those types of things. So that's what we do with the Divine Authority Foundation.
Okay, so what sparked that idea?
Actually, my husband started it because he is the product of a single-family home. So he was raised alone by his mother and really had wished that he saw the struggle that she went through and, you know, how helpful it is to have resources. And then as a youth, how helpful it is to have mentors and people that are there to speak into your life, that are there to kind of open your eyes and show you, you know, all the possibilities that are out there. One thing that we have that's really exciting that's coming up is there is a group down in the Vine City area. It's a new initiative called Community 360 that is being pulled together and getting ready to launch. The area is over by the stadium, and so they're working on community redevelopment and providing services for the low-income households there. And the Divine Authority Foundation, we have submitted a proposal and have been working with that team to provide a lot of youth services. And so those can look like exposure outings, you know, where we're taking them to zip lining or, you know, the Civil and Human Rights Museum, giving them art, educational, historical types of experiences. And then we're also doing a few other tracks called an industry speaker series. We're bringing in, you know, musicians, we're bringing in technologists to come and speak to the kids, you know, really open their eyes to what's out there. And then the one I'm really excited about is we're doing an entrepreneurship track. So we'll be taking the kids through what is entrepreneurship, how to develop a business plan, industry analysis, marketing and positioning. And there's a lot of exciting things that are coming with that. And so we're excited for the new year and what all that'll bring.
Oh, wow. So, like, what are the ages of these kids then? That sounds intense.
Well, the entrepreneurship program is for the older kids. Yeah. So that's the 14 to 16 and 17 to 20. So in the 17 to 20, it's called young adults. The exposure outings, we do go as low as 11 to 13. So
okay.
What is that, middle school, high school?
11, yeah.
Yeah. Age range.
Yeah. So is it mainly you and your husband who are doing these outings and things, or do you have volunteers to help out?
Okay. Mm-hmm. We do have volunteers. I do have room for some paid facilitators that come in, as well as speakers, but we do run off of a lot of volunteers, like all nonprofits, and then a few staples that we have.
Okay, great. All right. So you have a lot of different things that you're involved in. How do you, I guess, manage all of that? What's your plan for managing all these different products?
If you can ask 100 other people and get a really good answer, feel free to come back and tell me. How do I manage it all?
Yeah.
You know, I was reading a book recently, and it's called Successful Women Think Differently. And I think her name is Valerie Burton or Valerie Barton. But she wrote the book, and I've been reading it. It's very, very interesting in the sense that it talks about creating priorities and not just doing that in your work life, but also your home life and being very intentional. So I know, you know, that's a word a lot of people use these days, but it's very important. So I actually very early on created a list of what my priorities were outside of just work. Because we do to-do lists and all that kind of stuff with work all the time. I want to make sure I hit these type of sales. I want to do X, Y, and Z. But then in your personal life, what's really important? I want to make sure that, you know, I'm done working at 4:30 so that, you know, my husband and I can spend time in the afternoons. I want to make sure that I do X, Y, Z so that we can, you know, travel some more. Building in time for health and wellness. So really there's no trick to it. It's just a matter of, you know, pulling out the calendar and saying, this is what I want to accomplish, and then building in the time. And that's how I have to do it. I'm also a workaholic, so I have to give myself personal self-inflicted rules. So for example, we are not allowed to have technology in the bedroom.
Oh, wow. Nothing? Like no phones either? Or
I only use my – well, okay. You can clearly say I break that rule. But I use the phone for the alarm. But it is, you know, once technically you step into the bedroom, laptops are off, you know, iPads are off, and phones are to the side. And that helps us to, you know, to keep something separated.
Okay. Is your husband like a workaholic too, or are you like the...
It might be a mix.
Okay.
It probably just depends on what project we're working on. He works a lot, and he's kind of a serial entrepreneur as well.
Yeah.
But I think he's got the work-life balance thing a little bit better. I'm learning from him.
Okay. And does he also have like kind of a technology background?
So his background is as an electrical engineer. His full-time job by day, he works for one of the utility companies here called Georgia Transmission, and is actually a fiber engineer now. So he does their fiber strategy plans and implementation, as well as cybersecurity. And then, like I said, you know, then at night he comes home and takes off his fiber engineer and then puts on his producer hat. And then we work together on the nonprofit.
Okay. Sounds great. All right. So what lessons have you learned being an entrepreneur?
Quite a few. I think it was interesting you guys opened up this segment talking about networking. And so going back to that, I would say networking is really, really important. And I was fortunate, I think, to have learned that early on working at a chamber of commerce. So going out there and making connections with people is invaluable. And having that human touch in the person-to-person interaction, I think, is still, you know, very relevant today, even with all the things we can do digitally. So that's been really huge. And then tapping into your referrals, or tapping into your network for referrals. I actually decided that I wanted to take it easy. And when I launched my business earlier this year, I wasn't going to do promotion right away. I wasn't going to do advertising, so to speak. I wanted it to be word of mouth. And to this day, I actually still haven't started promoting simply because I have gotten all my clients, and frankly, I'm trying to figure out how to balance it now and if I need to bring anyone else on through word of mouth and through my network, and just letting them know and saying, hey, this is what I'm doing, but, you know, no actual e-blasts or anything like that. So really tapping into that strength has been a learning lesson. I would say another one, if someone's out there deciding they want to be an entrepreneur, is understanding that whatever it is that your service or product is or what you're really passionate about, don't expect to be able to do that 100% because you're running a business now. So you have to do the things that aren't as fun, you know, basic business operations, invoicing and accounting. And if you're not paid, you have to be, you know, collections and call and track people down and customer service all wrapped up in one. So, you know, just going in with the frame of mind that there are more pieces than kind of just the fun things that you like to do. But yeah. Well worth it. I've enjoyed it.
Okay. So the strength of your network has really been like a big push for your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands down. And what's great about it, I actually went and sat with two larger marketing companies, because one thing I also think is important is learning from others and, you know, where you want to be, asking them their journey and how they got there. So there's two larger marketing firms that I've had relationships with for years. And in the span of 3 weeks, I met with them and they both said the same thing. They said, you know, even though sales is important, the base of their clients come through referrals, other clients referring them or through, you know, an already existing network. And what's also great about that is then they've been vetted. You know, so if you've got a client who knows your style and knows your strengths, and then they are talking with someone else, one, they're usually going to pick someone who they think kind of matches you. It's kind of like a matchmaking service, but a vetting service. So, you know, they can vet that for you. And so that's invaluable. And then the second piece is they've also now almost serve as your sales arm. So they've kind of done the selling up front for you and talked you up, but then, you know, you get to come in and close. So that piece is nice. And so I do think that having a strong network, and if you don't have a strong network, starting to build one by, like we said, going to networking events. And, you know, we're in Atlanta and it is full of, you could spend your entire day, night, evening going to networking events, but tapping into the ones that are important and going to those is really vital.
Yeah. I think I found with almost every job opportunity I've had, it's because someone has known someone mm-hmm. and, you know, sent an email or referral on my behalf. And it's been like, oh, look at this person.
Well, you and I connected that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew someone. She said, hey, I have someone that can help you with XYZ. And that, what was it, a video production shoot? And then yeah. I found out you were a writer. And now, you know, I keep you in mind for writing. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
perfect testimony right there.
Exactly. So what would you say about like mentorship?
I think mentorship is very important. I have actually a few mentors. And sometimes you have to identify mentorship in what area. So I have some people, one or two, that I think are very strong in their relationships. And so I utilize them as, you know, to mentor me in being, you know, just a recently married woman, you know, coming along, not telling them everything that's going on, clearly, but, you know, watching them and having them coach is really important. And then, of course, the mentorship you probably originally meant is the business mentorship. And so I do have a lot of mentors that my mentors right now actually are all business owners, because that's really who I need to learn from. But their strength is in kind of best practices, telling you ahead of time how to avoid certain failures, giving you a heads up. You might not want to do that. And so that's really helpful. And then again, being champions for you and tapping into their network. So once they understand, you know, where you want to go and where your strengths are, they'll gladly send people your way as well. And so all of my mentors have been extremely helpful in that way. And I'm very grateful. So I definitely encourage people to go out there.
Yeah. How did you go about like making those relationships?
Actually, let me think. 1, 2, 3. My 3 mentors all came out of networking events and just developing that relationship over time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So just like meeting, like just cold meeting, like, and yep. just talking.
Yep. Just hitting it off.
Oh, wow.
And staying in contact. So I know some people will, you know, do calls and letters and ask. And I think that's important as well. If you have identified someone you want to be as a mentor. But for me, it's all just staying in contact.
Okay. That's great. All right. So if anybody wanted to learn more about you or your companies, where could they go? Could you direct us to any websites?
Absolutely. So Creative Flame Media, the URL is Creative Flame, FLAME, flame like fire, media.com. And then the Divine Authority that we talked about is simply divineauthority.org. Okay. And then all of our contact information, phone and email, is on there.
Okay, great.
Good job, Nicole. Thank you. It was wonderful learning about what you're up to.
I appreciate it. I had a great time talking with you.
Great job, Raven.
Thank you.
This is Lee Cantor for Raven Davis. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.